fatherhood is one of the greatest joys in a man's life. Providing for your family is one of the greatest responsibilities a man can have. Men and money is a topic that is usually not discussed in widespread public spheres and mediums due to various factors such as peer pressure, lack of transparency, fear of judgment, etc. There are so many stages and journeys involved that today we would like to discuss various perspectives on the financial aspects of fatherhood. Today we will venture into the world of fathers and finances and shed some light on the happiness and the challenges. Good day, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of C-File Talks. My name is Richard Pinder, financial literacy coach at C-File. Joining me today is senior accountant at C-File, Lamont Lang, and manager of corporate advisory at C-File, Angelo Butler. Join us today as we discuss the topic, fathers and finances. Good day, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Good.
So we are going to make this fun today. I thought it was very good for us to this month of June. We'll talk about not only fatherhood, but we'll just talk about being a man in general. I want to put a message out to our listeners, especially the men. This month, June, is also Mental Health Month for men. Mm-hmm. And what we'll talk about a little bit in this podcast is the mental space and capacity. Mm-hmm. We as men need to be in not only to live our own individual lives, but for our families. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage us as men. I know, just as I said in the intro, and, you know, there's a lot of stigma around mm-hmm. talking in general, mm-hmm. But find a space,
yes.
Whatever that space is, whoever that person is, mm-hmm. Find a space that you could let that out. You could talk, you could just be yourself. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of pressure on us Definitely. As men and fathers. And I just want to encourage our listeners that you are not alone. And mm-hmm. that's why we're doing this podcast today, because mm-hmm. As you would hear the different stories from both Lamont and Angelo and myself, you'd realize that you are not alone. Whatever you're experiencing, someone else is experiencing it also. Mm-hmm. Maybe just in a different way, mm-hmm. but we're all on the same journey. Yeah. We're all on the same journey. So what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to start introducing ourselves, and then we jump right into this conversation. So, Angelo, we'll start with you.
Yeah. So I'm Angelo Butler, married, father of two, and, you know, I've, over the last 7 or so years, been a father and, you know, 2 wonderful kids raising them. But like you said, you know, there's good things, there's challenges, and, you know, you learn along the way. So as we get into the discussion, I'll kind of share my experiences, what I've learned over that process, decisions I've made, changes I've made in my life since.
Okay. Yeah, good morning, everyone. My name is Lamont Lang, and just like Angelo, I'm married, father of 2. Kids are 11 and 5. And just like everyone else, I've went through a myriad of challenges over the years and various ups and downs, but you know what, it's been a wonderful journey, and hope that this talk, you know, helped someone out there, you know.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. That's what we hope. Mm-hmm. So what I want to start with is, I thought about, as I was thinking about this, and I said, what should we talk about? What would our audience like to hear? I thought jokingly, but seriously as well, what was it like? What do you think it's like? Because I know in my mind, before I had kids, my wife and I talked, and we, you know, you always, you know, either you're basing it on movies, you're basing it on your experience, or your friends, or your uncles, or whoever. Mm-hmm. But what is it in comparison to what you thought it would be, to what it actually is?
Yeah, and I'll start. Like, I guess initially, you know, you always see in movies, or you think it's just the fun stuff, you know, it's just the sports, you know, you're outside playing, or it's, you know, the rough house. And if you have boys, or even if you have girls, you know, you're seeing them, whatever their interests are, whether it be, you know, ballet or whatever the case may be, you know, you think of all these fun things, right? But then reality hits, you know, you get kids and you realize, you know what, responsibility starts now, you know, so now it's this thing where, you know, you got to think about logistics, one, you know, which school they're going to, who's picking up from school, mm-hmm. all these stuff, you know, healthcare, you know, they're getting their shots, you know, school, you know, how are they doing in school?
Yeah.
You know, so now it's a whole lot more, you know, about, you know, being there, you know, being present, not just the fun stuff, you
right.
know, all the stuff as, you know, being an actual father, you know. So for me, it really took, you know, that, you know, it goes, it's a whole lot more going into being a father than actually, you know, we're just the fun stuff, you know, we playing every day or, you know, doing, you know, I guess just like, you know, the enjoyable things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, you know, I grew up seeing my father and, you know, I always thought my father knew everything and he had it all together and, you know, they just knew how to do things. And then I became a father and it's like, what am I supposed to do, right? Like, how do you do this? And you realize you kind of learn things on the way and they were learning as well. And I think you can't appreciate that until you become a father yourself, that, you know, and my father was 31. He probably was just like me wondering, but as a 1, 2, 3 year old, I thought he knew everything, you know, right. He's this big grown adult. Yeah. That has it figured out. So, you know, for me, I realized that, you know, you have to learn it as you go. And it also helped me to understand my father better. And, you know, things I would get mad at when I was younger, thinking, my daddy doing this? Like, no, it's like, you know, I understand you. And so for me, it's been sort of, I wouldn't say as expected, but, you know, I've learned a lot along the way. And it's been a much better experience than I could have ever imagined.
Yeah, so for me, I didn't start the introduction, but I do have 3 kids, right? Mm-hmm. So I have 2 girls and a boy. And definitely for me, when I think about, as I was saying, when I thought about what it would be like versus what it actually is, I think that definitely, Angela, you hit the nail on the head for me. You kind of have an appreciation, a different appreciation now. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I'm sorry to say for our listeners, you won't actually know until you experience it. I got to be honest. Mm-hmm. Someone could tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Someone could tell you what they're going through specifically, but especially because kids are just so different. All of our kids, all of our kids on this podcast are different. Mm-hmm. And so I could tell you stories. We could talk about it, but until you experience it is comparing it to what you think it's going to be and what it actually is. Mm-hmm. It's so much different.
Yeah.
And one thing that Lamont said that I want to touch on, as we talk about throughout this podcast is being present. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when you look at social media, when you look at what you think it's going to be, you don't think about the level of presence that it requires. Mm-hmm. And I want us to think about that as men. There are a lot of various perspectives on how present you should be and what you should or shouldn't be doing. But at the end of the day, you do your best. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want us to encourage our listeners to do. Do your best, because at the end of the day, I want us to remember one thing only. Just as Angelo said, your children are watching. They are the ones who will remember whether you were there or not and how much you were there or not. Mm-hmm. And so you have to think about, hey, just doing your best. I mean, they may not understand what you're going through or what you're dealing with, but they will.
Because I was just going to say the same thing, you know, kids don't understand bills.
Yeah. No.
They don't know you paying the light bill. Right. And they're trying to balance. They don't understand.
No.
The only thing they know is how you make them feel.
Right.
So like you said, you know, you have to be present because that's their currency, you know. So at the end of the day, it's like, you know, they don't remember, daddy paid a light bill or daddy did this. No. I remember when I was doing my homework that day and, you know, daddy threw me up in there and he was tickling me and say, hey, you know, good job and all this stuff. You know, it's at this point in time, you know, it's how you make them feel. You have to be present for them.
And interestingly, the topic is fathers and finance. And I think Lamont used a good word just now by saying that your time is currency to them, right? And I think it's important to stress that. I think a lot of us as fathers, we just think we just need to put money there, put money on the table and money fixes everything. Yeah. Like he said, it's, you know, that time is also more valuable or, like he said, currency for kids. And I think that's important.
Agreed. Now, one thing I want to talk about is, one influence from your childhood or growing up that you still reflect on, or now that you are a father, you think about that person or you think about these stories or you think about that situation. So... Mm-hmm.
I think for me, one memory I always have is, you know, every summer I would go to play baseball tournaments, right? And you had to, it's 10 years, 10, 12 years ago, you have to come up with back then it was like $700 my parents had to come up with. And I always used to feel so bad going to them and say, man, you all need to pay this. And one year we actually went away twice. And when I went to tell my dad the second time, I was like, man, daddy, you know,
he's trying to figure out you can tell him this.
And he just said, okay. And, you know, I always remember that, like, no, like, I don't tell my kids, hey, I have this expense and that expense. And it's like, I always remember he was just the type of person, if something came up, he just found a way. And I've never forgotten that. And I've always been in a position where I try to say, you know, my kids, I'll never stress them, hey, I got this bill, I can't do this. No, if they need something, I have to find a way. And I think that has stuck with me ever since.
I like that.
Yeah. Like, for me, I think my own is would be for, like, my mom. Like, well, just to give you some background, my dad passed away when I was young. So, like, I was 4 years old. So it's been me and my mom and, you know, so basically the majority of my life, right? So my mom, for the most part, was either, you know, hotel or then later in life, like, retail, right? And I'd see her, you know, every day working hard to provide various stuff. And she'd come home, like, you know, 7, 8 o'clock. Even if I wasn't by my grandmother, until I got, you know, older, you know, you could be home by yourself after you get dropped home from school. But, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I got, like, a little bit older in age, you realize that, you know what, there's a lot of these quiet sacrifices that are being made that you don't really pick up on as a kid. And, you know, you say, like, you know, oh, you know, you come home now as an adult, be like, oh, you know, I'm tired and all these things. But, you know what, even though, regardless of that, you know, she took the effort, you know, and she kept moving. There was never no complaints. It wasn't that, you know, and I took that as a lesson for me in terms of, you know, hey, you know what, regardless of what's happening or what's going on, like, you have to keep moving forward, you know, because there is no off button. There is no pause. You know, you have to keep moving. And that's one thing that always stuck with me, because I don't think there was a time where it was like, you know, I even heard like a negative, or like, I feel like, you know, it's too much or giving up. So that, like, in my adulthood now, I always remember like that at that point in my life.
Yeah, I think you both bring up a good point. Now, the one for me, when I think about a story, I think about, my father was the type of person, it's just me and my sister, so it was one boy, one girl. So for me, he always, specifically when it came to me, he always wanted me to get the value of hard work. Mm-hmm. And so, just like you said, Angelo, he would never necessarily say yes or no, but he would always make sure that I understood that this had to be earned and not given. And I think that kind of what carries me, especially as I deal with my kids. I want them to appreciate that, yes, mommy and daddy are trying to give you everything we can. We're trying to do our best, but things are earned and not given. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of a life lesson, right, where you want your kids to not feel like everything is just supposed to be handed to you. Mm-hmm. Like, even though your parents are going to do their best and give you what you need and maybe even give you more, it's earned and not given. And I think that's one lesson for me that I always try to impart on my kids, because I don't want them to feel entitled. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want them to feel that everything, life is going to be easy and everything's just going to be given to you. Mm-hmm. No, life ain't, don't work that way.
It really ain't.
Don't work that way. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the thing for me. Now, another memory for me, and it kind of ties into what we want to talk about next, is my first job. And that hard work for me, I started working from I was 11, right? Part-time, summer jobs. When my father always said, hey, if you are from school, you're going to be doing something. Mm-hmm. You can earn this money. You ain't going to just be sitting here just thinking, you know, hey, me and your mama have to go to work. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing something. And so I started working from I was 11. And I think that kind of stuck with me, because I still see people from that first job, and how did they see me at this age and stage in my life? Mm-hmm. But I always think about that time. Mm-hmm. I think about the lessons that I learned from it, because even from that age, I had to learn how to be to work 8 hours a day, or however long it was. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to when I got my paycheck, you had to decide what you're going to do with this money. Mm-hmm. So it was lessons that you learned from that young age. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, some of the job that I did was fun, of course, but some of it, you know, you was 11, so you was in 11, 12. You ain't trying to be thinking about hard work, so to speak. I mean, the work wasn't hard in hindsight, but at the end of the day, it was still, you know, you was just thinking about having fun at that age. Mm-hmm. And the lesson that I got from that was, hey, no, life ain't all fun. Mm-hmm. Life ain't all fun. And if you want to have fun, you got to earn that fun.
Very true.
You got to earn that fun. And so I think about that first job, and I think about the gentleman that I work with. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Great guy. And he was like an uncle to me. Mm-hmm. He was like an uncle to me. He was another person I could talk to about certain things. And so having those kinds of influences, especially in a young man's life, I think that was very important to me as well. So let's talk a little bit about you guys' first job, or your experience with it, or something you remember from it.
For me, well, first of all, like, I grew up in the straw market as well as a little boy. So I know about, you know, talking with tourists, selling merchandise, all these various things. I mean, from a, I'm talking about maybe as early as like 6, 7, like, and even up until like actually like selling stuff to them, like 10, 11 years old. So, I mean, a lot of that taught me, like you said, hard work. It doesn't just come to you. Because, you know, all as kids, you know, we want things, you ask for things, you know what, and you know, to a certain extent, you know, whether it be your aunt, uncle, mother, father, you know, you get them to a certain extent. But then, you know, it gets to the point where they say, you know what? Let me let you go out and earn this.
Yeah.
You know, you out here with us, you know, you don't just have to be, you know, right, this statue, you know. And so it taught me that, you know what, you know, when you want certain things, you have to work for it. And then what it also teaches you is how to manage it. Because now that you've earned it, what you initially wanted, you know, I don't feel like I want to spend all this money on that no more, because now I have to actually earn this money. You know, it ain't like someone give it to me, you know, and now I can just, here we go, it's gone. But I think it teaches you how to manage money, because whenever you have to work hard and you put in like whatever, how many of hours to get whatever amount of money it is, I feel like it really is that defining moment where it's like, you know what, is it really worth it what you wanted to spend this money on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, when I was younger, during the afternoons, my mom worked part-time in the evening at a store. So I would go to that store with my mom, and I was just there. So I was like, people buying stuff cheaper, so I pack the grocery bags for them and I would get little tips. And then, you know, on the weekends and in the summer, I would work with my father. He does air conditioning. So most summers I worked with him from a young age, and, you know, we would be up in the ceiling. I don't know if any of y'all ever been in the ceiling.
Right? But that's a different experience.
The other day I had to go in my ceiling. I'm like, thank God I didn't choose this level. But yeah, so, you know, back then I used to just take a lot of that money and just put it aside, save it. Don't want to spend it, still ask my parents for money. Yeah. But it taught me, like, you know, you work, you get rewarded, and then you're able to do things for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as we talk about the financial aspect of that, I think we all have kind of taken the money aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing about it is the reason why, I'll say this, the reason why these lessons are important is because you see how it ties into money. Right. And I think for us as men, all of us started based on our stories, working from young ages, even if it was part time, even if it was just in the summer after school, whatever it was. But the point you had to learn is, hey, the value of money, the value of money. And I think that one lesson that I learned while I was growing up, and I think it kind of stuck with me, it kind of made me who I am, is if you spend everything. While you, because part of it for me, let me give you a backstory. So part of it for me was, while I was working in the summer, I was supposed to be saving money so that when we go away, you'd have your own. Exactly. You don't got to ask for everything, right? So part of the joke was, my father would be like, okay, how much you save? Okay, what you got? What you bring into this table? Mm-hmm. And so part of the conversation, part of the joke was, okay, I have X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, you got X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Now talk to me about what you want, right? Let's get the other side of it. What do you think this could buy, right? And so we used it as a lesson, like, okay, and based on whatever he would decide how much he would give me, or if he would buy it, or whatever the case may be. But I learned right away that, hey, sometimes you got to put a little bit extra in to get the actual things that you want, because the cost of it. I mean, you working hard, but It ain't adding up.
Exactly.
It ain't adding up. And I think that's the lesson that I kind of took, that you need to be bringing in additional money. And I think I learned that from an early age as well.
Yeah, for me, I think a big lesson I learned with money growing up is, you have to, when things are good, you have to put things aside, because it won't always be good, right? There's, you know, there's seasons, there's periods where your life will flourish and times where it won't. You know, like I mentioned, my father worked in air conditioning, right? And from May to November, it's hot. Everyone fixes their air condition. But from December to March, when it's cooler, if your air conditioning ain't working, then no one cares, right? So I saw where his work was seasonal, and you know, you would make money in the summer, but then you have to have sufficient to last you through when it's slow. And I think that's an important thing in life, right? Like, when you're working, you're young, especially, you don't have as much bills, like, you have to put money aside, because as you get older, things will come up, your kids, your spouse, you never know. There's things like hurricane that you have to prepare for in this environment, right? And so I think it's important to know that when things are good, you don't just spend it all. You have to put something aside and prepare for rainy days that will come.
Yeah, agreed. And not to reiterate anything, so let's go. Let me go in a different direction because you guys basically hit all the points that I wanted to already.
Mm-hmm.
But I, for me, I remember I had a tough lesson I learned on how to manage, not, can't say to manage money, but I put, let's put it in the context of managing money, right? Because I had to been maybe about 11, maybe 12, so that's 6th, 7th grade, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
My mom used to give me school fee money to pay, you know, in the office when I go to school. So she'd pay money, she'd give me the money.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, this one day I didn't go directly to the office when she dropped me off. So I think it might have been like 2nd or 3rd period. Like it just clicked. Oh, I need to go and pay the school fee. Checking my pocket.
This story taking a turn.
No money. I backed out all through my no money. I know oxygen. Let me go outside. I scoured.
Second or third period? Go outside.
I scouring the school grounds, you know, because it's like a couple $100. And I'm like, listen.
Child.
Long story short, I did not find this money.
No, of course
you didn't. This was the longest school day of my life. Listen, I remember my mom, and she finally, I was like, mom, the school fee money, I lost it. And, you know, his initial, like, rage, just like, what you mean? I told you. Long story short, it was like, you know what, she talked to me for a while after that, you know? It didn't end horribly, but for me, it stuck with me because I like I said before, I see how hard she works. So for me, it was like, you know what? Even in terms of, we put in a big picture of us now today, you know what, manage your money, especially in terms of like risk and stuff like that. So like, if you know there's a possibility, you know, you could lose this money, hey, listen, handle this now. So even in terms of if as an adult, in terms of you putting, let's say, things such as money in investments, if you think you're going to lose this, go another direction. Make another choice in terms of what you want to do. You know, that kind of way? Because that, for me, was a defining moment in terms of, you know what? How to handle money. Don't just, you know, have it round on you, or you just going about life, you know, without any, you know, kind of, I guess, purpose kind of way.
Yeah, so that's a scary way to learn that lesson.
It was a very scary lesson to learn.
I can imagine how long that day was.
And listen to me.
Now, one thing that I think about when I think about we all grew up differently, we all have different stories, but I think that one thing that affects us as men, us as fathers, mm-hmm. is the way we learned money,
mm-hmm.
the way we learned to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
The one cave is it's a serious story now, but how you learn to approach money, mm-hmm. and of course your environment, all of that affects you, and mm-hmm. then it affects how you think about money now, and then changes you had to make mm-hmm. Because of course your mm-hmm. current lifestyle and your current finances.
Yeah.
But give us an analogy, or give us one thing that you think helped you in terms of your upbringing or your environment and the way you approach money and finances.
Okay, I think that's to tap back into, you know, my previous theme. You know, I told you like how I grew up in a straw market, not with my grandmother. And, you know, being self-employed, normally, you know, you basically determine how much money you make, right?
Yeah.
So in life, I found that, you know, we all want these we want these things, you know, but when you have to put in all this hard work to acquire the money to afford these things, once you get it, now it's to the point of, do I really want this? Can I really afford this? Because I can tell you, like, as a 10, 11-year-old, you know, we're selling flutes and keychains for dollars to the tourists all day. And mind you, you might leave out there with like $100 in your pocket as an 11-year-old. But let's just say you wanted what it was back then, Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo, whatever the case may be. Like you said with your father, you know, mm-hmm. this is what I bring in the table, but you know, you need some more to go with that. So you spend, let's say, 3 days out of the week, you know, selling these keychains and flutes to the tourists. But now that you have this money in your hand, you know, it's like, do I really want to spend this money, you know, on this item?
Yeah.
Is it really worth it? So for that, it made me manage my money more carefully, like going into adulthood, because it's like, you know, I don't want to just waste money, you know. I want to make sure it lasts, you know, I'm using it on things that are more, I guess I would say, useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, like I mentioned, when I would park bags, you know, one of the best things I think ever happened to me, my mom took me to Scotiabank right in Palmdale. It actually isn't even there anymore. but she opened an account for me and my sister, right? And so every time I, you know, if I went there Monday and earned $5, I gave it to like, mommy, put this on my bank account, right? And kind of from that age, I started learning about saving. And, you know, back then, that's when you had the little books.
The little books. Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, mommy, let's go to the bank. I want to get my book updated. So I could see, like, yeah. I mean, I was getting like 1 cent in interest, right? Yeah. But to mm-hmm. me, it was like, but I get this money.
Yeah, you won't feel the progress. You won't feel
for
the progress.
Free. And you know, as I did that for years and years, just putting $5, $10, $20 on it. And, you know, by the time as I got 18, like I had, you know, some decent savings. And I've just continued that since then, right? So I think it is important to teach kids the value of saving from a very young age. You know, like if I have got children, you know, I don't buy them toys. Like I'm like, hey, open an account for them. I'll put a little something on their account. So when they get 18, they have access to something. So it's important to teach kids about saving and the value of money very early. And that has stuck with me.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about starting lessons from early, I think it's so important. And that's kind of what we'll talk in part two. But I think that one of the main things that we've talked about in this first part is I could see the thread throughout these conversations that we have all had the opportunity to have some kind of money lessons early. Mm-hmm. And I think just as Angelo said, I mean, you never know how that's going to shape the child. Mm-hmm. You never know how they're going to use that information and what they're going to do with it. But at the end of the day, you want to give them that information because it would definitely give them something to fall back on and give them something to reflect on. So no matter what journey they take in life, because as I always say, no matter what career you choose, money is at the base of that career. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what you decide to do. You need money to manage that, mm-hmm. right? You need money to manage life. And so no matter what you choose to do with your money or how you manage your money, giving your child some foundation is very important. And I just want to encourage our listeners to think about that, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we we find ourselves and we'll talk about it in terms of what age you should start having that conversation with. But mm-hmm. we find ourselves just doing a lot of things, but not explaining it to our children. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that they get an understanding so that they can appreciate why we do some of the things that we do. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that in part two. So mm-hmm. I want to encourage our listeners to join us for part two of this conversation, mm-hmm. Fathers and Finances. I want to thank CFAL for sponsoring the first part of this episode. Thank you to our audience for tuning in. If you want to leave a comment or have any questions for us, please feel free to do so on our social media platforms. I want to thank Lamont and Angelo for joining us on the podcast today. And tune into the next part of this conversation. We have a lot more to discuss. Thank you so much.